Okay, gentlemen, welcome back to another session of the Thursday evening Musa Shir. And we are on Daf Yud Beis, beginning of Shar HaGaiva. That is the gate of haughtiness. And this is CD Shir number 19, and it's Farcho Sadikim, it's number 7. Now, in the before he actually begins, there is a very short preface, I guess we would call it, to this shah, because it is the first one. So he informs us about something very interesting. On the top of the page, Ashah Rishon, this first gate, Nidaber Bo Amidas HaGaiva, we will discuss the issue of Gaiva of haughtiness, Umatov Shin Esdamin Techila B'Lechol HaShorim, and it is good that we begin this before all the other gates, Mepnei Chiyuv HaAdam, because of the obligation for man to separate himself from it, from this trait. Kihi pesach l'roz rabos, because it is the opening to many evils. V'lo reinu kazos l'ro b'chol amidos. And he goes on record to say that a worse mida, a worse character trait, cannot be found than this of haughtiness. L'chein, therefore, tzorach ha'adam l'hischakeim l'hanhigoy al mina karoi. A person needs to wisen up to conduct himself with discretion. V'litchos oso b'mokam sheina ru, and to reject this trait of haughtiness when it is not proper to have it. So here already there is a hint that, as was just mentioned here by one of the gentlemen, there are times, like every other trait, there are times that even gaiva is going to need to be used, or at least manifests, shown to some degree. So let's begin the Shah HaRishon, Shah HaGaiva. Okay, let's continue. Hashah Hagaiva, Hagaiva hi hamadbea sheposal hamelech hagadol baruch hu. Gaiva, haughtiness, is the coin, the matbea, the coin that the great king, meaning Hashem, has invalidated. His hironu aleh b'toroso, and Hashem has warned us about it in his Torah, kamoshenema, like it says, Hishom alecha, be careful for yourself, pentishkach as Hashem alokecha, lest you forget Hashem your God. Ki hageya yishkach yotro, because a person with haughtiness does forget his creator, kedichsiv, and he proves it from a pasuk, uvakarcha v'tzoncha yirbun mirbiyun, if you will increase your cattle and your sheep, v'kesev ezov yirbelach, and you will increase the amount of silver and gold that you have. In other words, you will grow, your portfolio would grow, as we would say these days. You succeed in business or monetarily, you succeed. V'ram levavecha, your heart will become high or haughty. V'shachachta as Hashem alakecha, you will forget Hashem. V'yamarta b'levavecha, and you will say in your heart, this is all a pasuk in the Torah, kolchi v'yotzim yodi asali esachai alazeh, it is my might and it is my strength that has made this wealth for me. Says the Torah, v'zacharta as Hashem alakecha, remember Hashem, ki hu anosin l'cha koach lasos chayil. He is the one who has allowed you to amass all of this, all of the strength, all of this wealth. Now, this is the proof that the Orchos Sadikim is bringing to prove the fact that a person with too much haughtiness, or with any haughtiness, depending upon the degree, is going to forget Hashem. Now, there is a very interesting Ramban here, that this is particularly addressed to the Jewish people, because since, as the Ramban says, since by nature we Jewish people are a more talented and capable people, therefore we will by nature we will attribute our success to our own doing. You know, if a person is a schlepper and he can't add up one and one, you know what I mean? So, and he does succeed, he's definitely going to have to attribute to his success to something else or someone else. But if people is a capable, you know, he's got a head on your shoulders, Ayidah up, as we say, and he's a very capable person, he's got talents, as we people are known to have, then it becomes more of a challenge for us to attribute the success that we have in life to Hashem as opposed to ourselves. That's why the Ramban says Hashem is particularly speaking to the Am Yisrael, to the Jewish people, about this warning, so to speak. Now, there is a Sefer Reishis Chochma, and it's in the gate of Anova, in the gate of humility, Perek Beis. He says something interesting. He says that what is the purpose that we human beings were put on this earth? We're here to serve Hashem. That's why we're here. There is a survey, we may have mentioned around this table once upon a time, a survey was done in this country a few years ago, and they interviewed high school students, what is your goal in life, and 3 out of 5 high school students said to become a millionaire. That was the goal. That's what they felt was the purpose of them being here. How, what, when, that wasn't the question. But the goal was to become a millionaire. We Jewish people need to know that we're put on the face of the earth to serve Hashem. A person, says the Reish Chachma, who is a Baal Gaiva, a person who is one of haughtiness, doesn't serve anyone. If anything, someone else serves him, or he serves himself. But nobody, he's not going to serve anyone else. So this has to be taken into consideration when a person is considering, you know, working on this midah, this character trait of haughtiness. Let's continue. Uvamelech nema. And when speaking about a king, the Torah says, Levilti rum levavo me'echav. He has to be careful not to lift himself, his heart, over his brothers, meaning over his countrymen. And he is the king. So the author says, Im hisira Torah fil v'melech, if the Torah is warning even a king, be careful not to become haughty. Kol shkein behed yotos, certainly the average person, shelo yistoreru zeh al zeh, we have to be careful not to give the impression that we are showing up someone else. Because a king at least is in the position. He holds the level of responsibility, so he's in the position that he could perhaps show haughtiness or be haughty. And Hashem is warning him. So if he's warning a king, so certainly we people, the average person, has to be careful not to become haughty. Now, what is haughty? Not that we understand that it is important not to become haughty. What is haughtiness? What is gaiva? So the next paragraph is going to describe to us different forms of gaiva. Take a look what he says, gentlemen. Hagaiva mischalekes l'shnei chalakim. Gaiva can be divided into 2 different categories. Ha'echad, number 1, geyos ha'odam begufo. Haughtiness, a person's haughtiness in his body or with his body. V'achelek ha'sheni, the second category, geyos ha'odam b'masav. Haughtiness in a person's actions. Meaning, b'malos ha'chochma, in the quality of his wisdom, u'v'masim tovim, and the good deeds that he does. Now he's going to explain a little further, and of course we're going to get the details of this in a few moments. Geyus ha'odam begufo, yesh bo shnei chalokim. We can subcategorize, subdivide, the haughtiness, concept of haughtiness in a person's body into another 2 categories. Ho'echad tov, ho'echad ra. One is good. Actually, there's a good haughtiness, and then there's a bad haughtiness. And now he's going to explain the bad one first. This is the bad kind of haughtiness that is manifest in a person's body. When gaiva, haughtiness, grows in the heart of a person, as timshol al ha'adam, it will rule over us mikatkado ad kafraglo, from head to toe. If we allow haughtiness to invade our very being, our physical being, it will take over and rule over us from head to toe, and he's going to go through practically the entire body of a human being and show how haughtiness is manifest in the different parts of the body. Bottom line there. Berosho begrono. Let's start from the head and the throat. Kidachsiv, and he says, I'll prove it to you that haughtiness can be shown in a person's head and throat. Kidachsiv, like it says in the Pasuk, because it's a Pasuk in Yeshayo Hanovi. Yan. Because, since, Kigovu benos Tzion, the daughters of Tzion, that means the Jewish daughters of Yerushalayim, became haughty, vateilachna, they strolled, netuyos goron, with outstretched necks. When the daughters of Yerushalayim, this is talking about Jewish women, when they walked around the streets, they walked with their necks outstretched. Now, what was the problem there? Number one, the problem was that the Mefarshim here, in this case, the Cheshek Shlomo says, the daughters of Yerushalayim at that time anyway, were tall. They happened to be tall women. They didn't need to stretch out their necks or their heads in order to be noticed. And still, so that they will be noticed by everybody, they made it their business to walk around the street with their necks and their heads up high and you know, up high in the sky. So that's what it means here. They were walking in a manner that they can be noticeable. Mesudas David says that they would sway from side to side. Now, we, of course, are not going to get too explicit here, but you know that particularly a woman who wants to be noticed will carry herself in the street in a particular manner that it's going to attract attention. And we mentioned a few, what was it, a few weeks ago, maybe a few months ago already, that the philosophy with a woman, well, particularly with a woman, with any person, but particularly with women, is it's okay to be attractive, but not attracting. Attractive, but not attracting. She has to look like a man. She has to look good. She has to dress nicely. Attractive is fine, but not attracting. Let's continue. Beyond Dava Baraglav, what about a person's hands and his legs? Dichsiv, it says in Tehillim, and David HaMelech is speaking about himself. He's davening to Hashem. Al tivoeini regel gaiva, don't allow me to come to haughtiness of the legs. V'yad rishoim al tinideini, and don't allow the hands of the evil, of the wicked, of rishoim, to move me. Hashem, according to the Me'am Loes, rather, David HaMelech is asking Hashem to protect him from the Midah of Gaiva. Now imagine this, gentlemen. This is not talking about the average person here. We're talking about David HaMelech, King David, who was the greatest man of his time. There was not one, I believe if I'm quoting correctly, there was practically nothing when it came to the laws of judgment that he could not paskin, that he could not decide on. And you would imagine the levels of ruchnius, of spirituality that David HaMelech was on. And here he has a pasuk in Tehillim that he is asking Hashem, please, I beg you, Hashem, protect me, I shouldn't become a Baal Gaiva. Now, obviously the Kolshkin, the Kal Vachomer, the logic is obvious for the average person who is not on the spiritual level of David HaMelech, that we have to, at least in our prayers somewhere, in our davening, to daven to Hashem, that we also shouldn't be stricken with gaiva. So let's go on to the next one. V'al regel gaiva nensha bas Rabbi Chanina ben Tradio, and he gives another example of the legs, the feet. He says it was the feet of haughtiness that caused the daughter of Rabbi Chanina ben Tradio to be punished. This is a Tana. Rabbi Chanina ben Tradio was a Tana, and his daughter was punished because she conducted herself with gaiva. What happened? She nigzalei, it was decreed upon her, leishev bekupa shel zonos. She ended up living or spending time in a house of ill repute. How did that happen to the daughter of Rabbi Chanina ben Tradio? And how did that happen? Ki pamachas, because one day holcha lifnei gedolei Rome, she was walking before the officials, the officers of Rome. Vishama shamru, and she overheard them saying to one another, Kama nos pesioseho shel rivazu. Wow, look at the way that young woman walks. And she heard them saying this to one another. So how did she react when she heard that? Fiyaz diktika yoser. She was a little bit more gracious in her walk. Now imagine. To say that she was a lowly person, it's almost unimaginable, imaginable to say something like that. The daughter of Atana was a lowly person. But I guess on her level, she noticed that somebody was noticing her, because she overheard their comment, and she figured, hey, okay, this is an opportunity. If they're looking at me already, might as well give them a good look. And she, she walked a little bit more graciously. I don't know the levels that she, you know, that she went to. I can't imagine it was too much. But the point here is, gentlemen, you know, how did she do this if we know the dignity of a woman is, you know, to shun publicity and to seek privacy. Privacy. We know that the Tehillim and David HaMelech said in Tehillim, "Kol kavuda bas melech penima." The honor of a bas melech, of a princess, is penima, is inward. She has a certain dignity that is reserved for her parents, perhaps, or reserved for her husband, but not to be exploited and not to be used and not to be attracting to others. So that she this woman was punished that she ended up in a kuba shozonos. So we took care of those parts of the body. Let's go on, gentlemen. Boinayim, what about the eyes? How in the world could a person manifest gaiva in eyes? Kedechsiv, einayim ramos, haughty eyes. This is a pasuk in Mishlei written by Shlomo HaMelech, of course. Haughty eyes. What does it mean, haughty eyes? Mitzudas David explains that a person who is humble walks through the streets when he's in public, walks in a downward position. His eyes are downward. Now please, gentlemen, don't get this wrong. This doesn't mean that our heads should be in the ground. This doesn't mean that a person should not have a certain confidence about himself. You have to feel good about yourself. It means that you don't walk, with your, as they say in the vernacular, with your nose up in the sky and your nose up in the air. You walk normal. You walk normal. If anything, if there's any direction your eyes are going to point, it's going to be more downward than upward. Because upward position, it looks like a person of haughtiness, like I own the world. You know, you can tell this sometimes when you're sitting in a room. Of course, we have to be careful never to judge others again. Sometimes you notice when people walk in the room, they walk in with a certain gesture or a certain stature. Their body language is a giveaway. Like it's almost like they have a sign on their back. I'm here. You know, hear ye. I just walked into the room. Did everybody notice me? Other people, you see humble people, they walk in, they don't, make a fuss, they don't move around the chairs too much, they sit in, if you're coming late to shul, you don't walk up to the front of the shul, especially if it's in the middle of the rabbi's drasha. You know, even in the middle of davening, even if your seat's in the front, you don't walk up to the front of the shul, you walked in late, when you got to be, it's bad enough you came late, everyone's got to notice you. So, you walk in, just take a back seat. You wait to an intermission of some sort. And, some distraction is happening in shul, then you walk up to the front. So that's the pasuk here that in Mishlei Einayim Ramos. Let's continue, Baznayim. What about with a person's ears? How in the world is haughtiness manifest with a person's ears? Lo yishma divrei ho'aniyim ha'umlalim. This is the kind of person, when a knock on the door and there's a mashuluch there, a pauper, or you're walking in the street and somebody stretches out their hand and they pleads, can I have a nickel, can I have a dime, can you help me out, I need some food, I need this month's rent. And we don't listen to that pauper. That is a symbol of gaiva, of haughtiness. In other words, we're giving the impression, what's the matter? Because I happen to have the money and you don't have the money, so I'm bigger than you are. You know, we have this concept in our minds. I'm not quite sure where we get it. It's probably a result of the society we live in, that people who have money or have a lot of money are better than people who don't have a lot of money. Somehow, I don't know where that comes across. It could very well be, of course, we're not judging any one person, it could very well be that statistically it's just the opposite. That you have probably better people, or the people without too much money, versus the people who have tons of money. Somehow they are affected by their money and adversely affected by their money. So here the example that Aruch HaTzadikim is giving, where a gaiva can be manifest in a person's ears, is if we don't listen. In other words, gentlemen, let's lay the cons on the table here. You know, we make an effort to learn the musa that we're learning, to put it into practice. So the person, when you're sitting at dinner in your house, you're reading a book, whatever it is, and there's a knock on the door and the mashulach is there. And he comes in and he starts telling you all his tzaris. And some of them have terrible tzaris, terrible things. What is our reaction going to be? Is our reaction going to be, hezech metzia, listen here, I got no time for this, I'm in the middle of dinner, I'm reading a book, I'm in the middle of the whoever, whatever it is, here's your 10 bucks, your 20 bucks, your 50 bucks, whatever you're going to give him, here, have a nice day. No, so what does that show the person? That shows the person, gives the impression that you are so much more important than he is, I'm not going to waste my time on you. And the Aruch HaTzadikim is telling us that that's a symbol of gaiva, that's haughtiness. A person of humility is going to invite the person in and allow him to tell his story, even if it takes 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and let them cry, and let them chveis, whatever it is. You know, and most of the help that we could give, just as an aside, most of the help that we can do for these people is simply listening to them. Because a lot of these people just need a shoulder to cry on. Of course you give them a couple of bucks to help them out financially. But just to be able to... I had somebody in my house this past week, that came, they wanted to discuss something, an issue they were having. You know, they said, it's okay, just take a few minutes. Fine, come over. We sat there, my wife and I sat there for 2 hours. 2 hours, and this person was crying their heart out. For 2 hours straight. That's it. Crying their heart out. And I'd like to think that they felt a lot better just by doing that. So this is the opposite of what he's describing here. A person who has haughtiness doesn't show the interest to listen to a pauper. Let's continue. Bereach. So let's continue. What does it mean? Bereach hapo, with the person's nose, with his nostrils. How in the world does a person show haughtiness with his nose? When he are in the presence of a pauper, or the pauper enters into your house, they are offensive, because could be sometimes a guy, because of his financials, economic situation, he hasn't taken a shower in a week, and he smells bad, very simply. And if you hold your nose in front of the guy, or you kick him out of the house before he has a chance to take his coat off, that is basically a symbol of haughtiness. Now, gentlemen, I'm not suggesting that this is easy. You know what I mean? This is like, excuse the pun, you know, it stinks. It's not easy. It's not as easy to do. But if a person is working on the midah of haughtiness, then he's got to be able to bear this. Okay, let's continue. V'af bidvarav. And with the person's words, yidaber al tzaddik osok begaiva, someone who speaks against a righteous person, that is a symbol of gaiva. Vegam hagaiva nikeres binyone hamacholim v'hamashkin. Listen to this, gentlemen. A person can be recognized with his gaiva, with his haughtiness, in his food and his drink. Now, we got to be very careful with this, of course, with his food and his drink, but there are some people who it's beneath their dignity to drink regular water, or even regular bottled water, if it doesn't say Perrier on it. What? You're offering me Publix water, Publix brand water? No way! I'm not going to drink that stuff. This guy has to say Perrier, if it doesn't have bubbles in it, I'm not drinking it. Now, again, we have to be careful because different people have different tastes. And certain people adjust to certain tastes, and when you host them in your house, you have to find out what their likes and dislikes are. That's part of Achnasas Arachim. But again, as we mentioned earlier, we're speaking to ourselves. If we recognize about ourselves that we're reaching a certain point in our lives that, hey, if it's not rib steak, and it doesn't have a bone, and it's not, and the juice is not running off the plate, and it doesn't say Perrier on the bottle, that it's not good enough for me. That should be a hint to us that we're getting into gaiva territory here. Listen to this next thing. Gamni keres b'malbushe bigde gaiva. What about the person who can be recognized just by the clothing of haughtiness that he wears? Malbushe nachri. I would say he refers to flashy clothing. You know, there are people who are, you know, when you go shopping and stand in front of the mirror, listen, you have to look nice. There's no doubt about it. A person has to look like, we mentioned earlier, has to look like a mensch. But if while you're trying on the suit in the store, you're standing in front of the mirror, and what's going through your mind is, what are they going to think? How many people are going to look at me? Maybe they won't like it. That means the purpose of dressing is for someone else. So this is something we got to be very careful about. It shouldn't be loud. It shouldn't be so attracting. You know, there are people who, when they come to shul on Shabbos and they're wearing a new suit and nobody mentioned anything to them, nobody complimented them, they go home depressed. I spent 3 hours in shul Shabbos morning, and I was wearing my new hat, my new shoes, and nobody, a new tie, whoa, and nobody said a word to me? That kills it for the week. In other words, the whole purpose was, now again, he doesn't mention the issue of cars. because there weren't any cars, or maybe there were horses those days. I'm not quite sure why he didn't discuss the mode of travel. But gentlemen, let's face it, if the reason you're driving the car, if a person driving the car, a particular car, he has to know why he's driving that kind of car. If he did the research and it's a better car, it's a better vehicle for the price that he has, they can afford, fine, then buy it and drive it, okay? But if the reason for driving the car is so that everybody on the street will notice me when I'm driving down, then that's for the wrong reason. I ask you, gentlemen, can I ask you a sensitive question? I hope I'm not going to offend anybody around this table, please. I don't mean anybody in particular. But I ask you a question, and I have absolutely nothing against the car Lexus. I have nothing against it. That's okay, even though my mechanic told me once that a Lexus is a Camry with icing. That's what it is, basically. It's a Camry with icing. But I ask you a question, gentlemen, a sensitive question. How many people who drive Lexuses would drive the Lexus if it didn't have that L in the back of the car? I want to know. My guess is not too many people. Imagine, you go to the manufacturer, or before you take it out of the showroom, and you say, ask the guy, please do me a favor. You see the symbol on the back, the L, take it off. You take it, I don't want, you know. What? I'm going to drive through the street with a Lexus? Nobody's going to know I got a Lexus. I mean, I don't understand it. Now, if the purpose of driving that Lexus is so everybody else sees, to me, the L stands for loser, not for Lexus. You know what I mean? And if it's got a big B in the back of the car, if you're driving that one, you know, so everybody could see, maybe it stands for, excuse me, for backside, you know, instead of what it really means. I mean, what is the purpose of what the person's driving? It's the same idea. Whether it's the clothing, whether it's the, now again, we have to remind ourselves, we're looking at ourselves in the mirror here. You never know why the other guy is driving the Lexus or the Bentley or the Rolls Royce. I know of a person that had to get an upgrade in his car simply because the position that he held for the company that he was working required, it was beneath the dignity of the company. They asked him, please, to get an upgrade. He was driving a car that was 10 years old. It was fine. It was good transportation. And he was a simple guy. He could have afforded a more expense, but he didn't. He didn't want to waste his money. And they begged him, please, you come in, you drive into the parking lot here, and you're driving your 10-year-old car. Meanwhile, there's BMWs here, there's Lexuses, there's Corvettes, there's, you know, all these cars, and you come in with your Chevy. It's a Passanish. It's not nice. So they asked him to get an upgrade. Fine. So you never know why a person needs it. But again, we're looking at ourselves. Do I really need, you know, I must tell you, I was watching, a video recently came out that will be shown, hopefully, publicly, and the organization that is going to be showing this this movie asked my wife and I to preview it first. We're not the only ones. People are previewing it to see, you know, what we thought. And they interview Rabbi Dr. Abraham Twersky. Now, if you know anything about Rabbi Dr. Abraham Twersky, I would say he makes a pretty decent living, right? I would say. And on that, he got into a conversation that circled around this issue that we're discussing. And he says, as an example, he says, he drives a car that's 7 years old. His car is 7 years old. It runs very well. The air conditioning is good. The heating is good. And people ask him, why in the world someone like you is driving a 7-year-old car? And he says, because the only reason that I would have to buy a newer car is so that someone else would see that I have a new car. Because to me, it doesn't make a bit of difference. My car is a good car. It serves the purpose. I need it to get from one place to another. It's not banged up. It's in good shape. The only reason I would get a new car is so other people would see I have a new car. So here's a person who's intellectually honest with himself, you know. So we have to, again, we're examining ourselves. What kind of clothing am I wearing? Who am I doing it for? Who am I eating for? What restaurant am I going into? Where do I shop? The label that I wear on my clothing. Now you understand, gentlemen, that the new style is that the label is on the outside of the shirt, of the jacket. Why? What do you think it's there for? So everybody can see, you're an old Navy guy. The whole world has to know I'm members only, or I'm old Navy, or a Schmata Unanimous. I mean, what? Who's got to know what I'm wearing? You know, there are people who will actually go over to their friends and open up the jacket. Holy Cassini. Where'd you get your suit from? Yeah. So that means a person is more interested in showing off to others, and especially, gentlemen, when it comes to the young children, where you have parents who are dressing up their two-year-olds in the highest fashion, classic clothing and carriages and strollers and who knows what. Now, let me ask you, the two-year-old knows that it says the members only up here? Does the two-year-old know? The kid's still in diapers. But the parent walks with the child down the street, and my child is wearing members only. So that's why, So this is just an example how we have to examine ourselves, introspect and see why we do the things that we do. Okay, but again, please, never to judge others, and of course, never to look like a schlepper. You have to look proper, nice, menschlich. Let me just share something with you. Right here in the back of my sefer, I carry something around, just as an example. Now, gentlemen, read this advertisement here. This is an ad in the paper for a watch. I don't know this watch. I can't even pronounce the name of the watch. It's some, I don't know, is it French or Spanish or whatever it is. Take a look at the caption. What does it say there? You see the caption? This watch, the watch you wear, says a lot about you. The watch you wear says a lot about you. I don't know, gentlemen. As far as I was brought up, I knew the purpose of a watch is so you can tell the time. Right? You tell the time. That means it says about... So that means if a person has this philosophy that says about you, then it's got to have either a diamond in the middle Movado. Or it's got to have, some kind of... Why? Because when someone else looks at my watch, they should know, whoa... Guarantee you, gentlemen, this Casio watch here tells as good time as anybody's watch around this table. Give me a $30,000 watch, this Casio for $35, whereas this tells you the same time, maybe even better time. Right? Now, again, that doesn't mean, chas v'shalom, God forbid, that doesn't mean look at another person who's wearing a Rolex and make fun of him, call him a Baal Gaiva. You never know. We're only trying to judge ourselves. We're not trying to judge others. And when you drive an I-95 and you see the billboard for the whatever car it was, and it says the car you drive says a lot about you. Right? Oh no, you are, I'm sorry, the caption was, you are what you drive. You are what you drive. That means, if you're driving a Rolls Royce, you must be who knows what. If you're driving a Chevy, forget it. You're off the map. That's not even worth looking at you when you go by the street. But these subtle commercials, these advertisements, they have an effect on us. If they're paying thousands and thousands of dollars to these advertising agencies to create these ads, they definitely work, and they have an effect on us. So we have to be careful that the way we dress, the way we eat, the way we conduct ourselves is not for the sake of haughtiness. Let's continue the paragraph. And Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem warned us, instructed us in the Torah, Shenemal, it says, don't go in the manners of the goyim, and he quotes a couple of psukim along the same lines, watch out for yourself, so you not be attracted to them, because that's the way of the goyim, that they do things for the sake of others, not for the real purpose. Hakol b'inyan echad hu, it's all the same thing. Mazir, the Torah is instructing us, warning us. Shehei Yisrael mavdal b'malbushov u'b'dvarov v'v'chom min hagav min agoyim. We view ourselves different and a higher level than the others. V'chein hu omen, so it says, v'avdil eschem min ho'amim. I separated you from the other nations. Now, again, there are exceptions to every rule, and there are the people of the other nations that conduct themselves in a proper way as well. So, of course, these are the what we refer to the Chassidei Umos HaOlam, the righteous non-Jews of the world. There are good people out there, of course, and we have to be careful how we, you know, conduct ourselves vis-a-vis them. But his point here is that a Jew needs to know that the purpose on the world is to serve Hashem. Any of the amenities of life that are necessary to serve Hashem, you have to get to the minyan on time, you have an appointment to make, so you need a watch, so you buy a watch. But that the watch has to look like this and look like that. Again, if it's a matter of quality, and if you spend a little bit more money, you're going to get something of better quality, and it's going to last you longer. Then, of course, it's just thrifty. It's good. Someone once told me, if you want to live like a poor man, you have to buy like a rich man. Right? In other words, if you want it to last, fine. So if that's your intention, then Matoma, you buy a more expensive car because it's going to last you longer. So of course. But again, as long as where our intention is for the purpose that the use of the item, but not to share it with others necessarily. Okay, okay, gentlemen. I think we'll call it quits. We'll resume next week. And Mirza Hashem, have a wonderful week.